why don't kick back and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beefs,
spazzles,
to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host, and as always, I hope you guys are having a wonderful, wonderful week so far. It is Black History Month 2019, and I am here for all of the festivities, all of the memes, all of the posts. I am here for the celebration. Now, I know many of you are probably thinking, well, I'm black every single day, 365 days a year. And yes, I cannot escape my blackness, even if I wanted to. And I'm proud to be black, and I celebrate being black every single day. However, I think that there is a lot of importance in having a Black History Month because it's not really just for us to celebrate. It's really for the people to showcase to the world and to, you know, put them on to the significant contributions that we as Black people have made, not only to American society, but to the global economy, to the world as a whole. I mean, we are killing it. We have been killing it. And it's important for us to let the colonizers know that we are here and that the reason that their lives are much simpler is because of black people. If it wasn't for black people, they wouldn't be eating peanut butter. If it wasn't for black people, they wouldn't be able to switch channels with a remote control. If it wasn't for black people, they wouldn't be able to stop at a stoplight. And that's just like a scintilla of the things that we've contributed to American society and to the world as a whole. So Black History Month is really there for the education of others. And I dare say for ourselves, because, you know, although we're out here talking about we're black and we're proud 365 days a year, all this extra stuff, there are so many things that we do not know about, you know, ourselves, about our culture, about being black, our origins. You know, many of us don't know these fun facts that we're so quick to throw up in a meme for Black History Month. I mean, to be very honest, I didn't know that a black person created or invented the remote control. I did not. And so there are so many of these little things that, you know, we take for granted, that we use every day, not knowing that it actually came from our ancestors and our forefathers. So Black History Month is a time for us as Black people to really get into the roots, really, you know, figure out who we are, learn some new things. And it's also a time for us to really put the masses and the colonizers, you know, put them on and let them know and show them, you know, what it is that we've done, and really, you know, throw it in their faces, to be honest. So I'm all here for the Black History Month celebrations and all of that stuff. So with all of that being said, happy Black History Month to all of my people who are in the struggle. So now, before we continue on with the show, I am so happy to say that we have another sponsor for this month, Trendy Tripping. So Trendy Tripping is a co-retailing space that allows artists, entrepreneurs, and startups the opportunity to showcase and sell their products without the risk of renting their own retail space. And this is really important because we have a lot of artisans out there, a lot of startups, a lot of entrepreneurs who, you know, they have a product, they're trying to push, but, you know, they're just starting out and they don't have the money to actually get a brick and mortar or to really rent a retail space for their product. So this is a great way to, you know, to build within the community, you know, to showcase your items and, you know, to really just be part of a collective. So if you're looking for more information about Trendy Tripping, the Trendy Market, definitely follow them on social media at Trendy Tripping, T-R-E-N-D-Y Tripping, T-R-I-P-P-I-N-G. And if for some reason you didn't catch that, just slide up in my DM at According to RP and I will put you in contact. So it is now time for our Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Popping on fleek, the lit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary Word or Phrase of the Week.
So this week's Word of the Week is dog walk. So as a verb, you are to use it as such. When you're beating someone's ass and you're dragging them as if you were walking a dog. Example, I'm a dog walk your ass if you keep talking shit. Second example, he got dogged walked in that fight last night. So now the reason that I felt like this term was pretty appropriate for this week is because I've been seeing it in the media a lot. People are using this term, dog walk. And Cardi B, as of recently, has been using this term to address the, you know, the individual who's inhabiting the White House, Mr. 45, Senor Trump. And as I think as of this week, even she used it against Tommy Lauren. So Tommy Lauren, for those of you who don't know, she is a American conservative political commentator and former television host. I believe she, I don't know if she still is part of Fox Nation, but she was on Fox News at some point as a commentator. Either way, she's a troll. You know, if she is the queen of all trolls, she's always out here, you know, jumping into comments, you know, talking about all sorts of stuff. Even as recently with this 21 Savage situation, she decided to like take one of his raps and remix it for, you know, for some sort of like, I don't know, humor about his immigration issue. And so she's just like the worst troll ever. She's that conservative, red states, whatever type of troll, blonde hair. You already know what I'm talking about. If you've never seen her, you can visualize, you know, what I'm talking about right now. But either way, Cardi B just this week, you know, dragged her in some Twitter comments and basically, you know, asked for a leash because she was ready to go dog walk Tommy Lauren. So like that seems to be, you know, the new phrase now, right? You know, whenever you want to drag somebody, you're dog walking them. I'm a dog walk them. That's the thing. So if you've been hearing this phrase within your circles or you've been seeing it on social media, now you know what it's in reference to. You're welcome. So with that being said, you guys know that I am at the point of the show where it's my favorite part of the show. It is time for the big up of the week. Watch it. And you feel big up, all of the woman them big up, all of the girl them big up, all of the woman them. So this week's big up of the week goes to Candace Payne from Chicago, Illinois. Big up to Candace from the Chi. And so for those of us living in the Northeast, Midwestern areas, you guys know that Mother Nature was not happy with us last week. And to the point where we experienced a polar vortex, meaning for those of you in the South who have no idea what I'm talking about, we in New York City, at least, I think it was last Wednesday or Thursday was this polar vortex. It was like 1 degree Fahrenheit. And then I think it was 1 degree and it was a real feel of like maybe 14, like negative 14 degrees or something like that, or negative something like that, something crazy. Well, in the Midwest, i.e. Chicago, it was like sub-zero and the real feel was like negative 50 degrees, like craziness. Like the other day, me and my friend was actually trying to see like what freezes in that. You know what I mean? Like, does vodka freeze in negative 50? Like what? Like, this is crazy. Like, nobody can survive. Nobody can be on the streets in this type of weather. Unfortunately, due to the society we live in, we are filled with homeless people, and homeless people live on the street. So therefore, homeless people in Chicago were literally in the streets during the polar vortex. And unfortunately, people died. I think about 21 people died in the polar vortex. I believe most of them were homeless individuals. But either way, I bring that up because of this. Candace Payne, who is from Chicago, she has a real estate business out there, she realized, her humanity kicked in and was like, wait a minute, if it's going to be negative 50 degrees real feel out here in these streets, what's going to happen to these homeless people who are out here? And so without even thinking, she called a local hotel and she booked 30 rooms. And then she took to social media and basically was calling out for her fellow men to assist her in rounding up the homeless people and, you know, transporting them to the hotel. She was like, you don't even have to pay for the transportation. You don't have to pay for nothing. I got this. I just need your helping hand to come get some homeless people and shelter them from this crazy ass storm. Now, what she didn't realize was that, you know, there are other humans out there. There are other people who had this shift of humanity in them. And with their help, she was able to actually secure 60 hotel rooms and was able to, you know, transport even more homeless people, you know, to safety. And her and these people that she didn't even know, these strangers, arranged to provide hot food for these individuals. And I believe their hotel stay extended far past the one day. I think they were able to actually stay for a week. And so this type of kindness should not go unnoticed. It should not go unnoticed. And we should definitely be making this viral, blasting this all over our social media. Because in a time of need like this, in a time of crisis, when you have an individual who's like, I'm going to just charge 30 hotel rooms to a credit card. I don't know these people. I don't know these homeless people. Like that is what a good Samaritan truly is. And when you think about it, you know, we all have, well, maybe not all of us, but a lot of us have credit cards and we swipe for all sorts of foolishness. Imagine if each and every one of us were to just swipe, you know, and get a hotel room for one of these homeless people, you know, during these crazy storms. Like, imagine how many people we would be able to help. And imagine the business we'd be generating for these hotels as well, too. I mean, we'd be giving back to the economy. We'd be killing two birds with one stone, you know? So I think that this kind of kindness and this, you know, this type of compassion should definitely be blasted and be viral all over the place, because it is not every day that you find somebody who is willing to charge not one, not two, not three, not 10, but 30 hotel rooms on a credit card. I'm telling you. So big up to you, Candace Payne. I really appreciate, you know, the work that you're doing in the community. I'm pretty sure that you've done other things that have probably gone unnoticed, but I encourage you to continue being an example to, you know, your fellow man, to these young people coming up, and show them what true compassion really is. So now, you know, with every high, there's a low, and I am going to get into the low, which is really going to be the meat of the show today. But before I get into that, on social media, I stated that I wanted to talk briefly about this 21 Savage situation. And for those of you who do not know who 21 Savage is, 21 Savage is he's a rapper, but apparently he's a British rapper. I did not know this. I did not know this. So 21 Savage falls into that whole trap music genre, right? That trap, the Migos genre, the Soulja Boy, you know, genre. That's the type of rapper 21 Savage is. Some of you might even know him from, you know, from his stint with Amber Rose. They had dated for a period of time. So some of you might know him from that. Either way, 21 Savage, whose real name is Shea Ben Abraham Joseph, apparently was born in Great Britain. Apparently, he is British. But he's known for being, like, that's why I was confused. Like, he's Atlanta-based, but I thought that he was born and raised in the A, like every other rapper out there who's claiming, you know, that they're from the A. But either way, 21 Savage was born in England. He was born in Great Britain. And apparently, you know, he came to the United States as a child about 14 years ago. I think before, it might have been 15 years ago. Either way, over a decade ago, he came to the United States as a child. So his parents came over. This is the typical story. The parents, they leave, you know, their countries, they have the visas, they come to the United States, and then they overstay their visas. And then, you know, these kids are just here living, you know, maneuvering without a status. Typical dreamer situation, right? But again, most of us had no idea that 21 Savage was a dreamer. Either way, why is this all relevant? It's relevant because 21 Savage is now in ICE custody, and which is ICE is, you know, Immigration Customs enforcement. So he is now under ICE protection. He is in the custody of ICE in Georgia, and they're threatening deportation. So 21 Savage might get deported back to his country, which is crazy because he's been maneuvering publicly in these streets. Like, I'm very confused as to all of this. He's even had felony arrests. Like, I don't understand how now is the time that, you know, ICE is, I don't understand how he's now being discovered as an undocumented illegal immigrant in this country when everybody, well, maybe not everybody, but most people, like, he is a popular person. He is out here in these streets. He's on TV. He's all over the place, all over the place. And he had felony arrests. He was processed in the system in like 2014. And you're telling me now in 2019, this is when 21 Savage is a problem? Well, many of us believe that 21 Savage was targeted after his recent performance on the Jimmy Fallon show, where he remixed his song a lot. And basically there was a verse that was dedicated to the immigration issue that we're facing, you know, the border, children being deported. He even talked about the Flint water crisis. Like, why is that still a thing? Why are we still talking about Flint and the water crisis? Like, why has that not been fixed yet? But that's another issue. But he was speaking out about some of these things. You know, he was getting these things off of his chest. And so apparently 5 days after this performance, this public performance where he spoke out against the government and the things that they're doing, he gets arrested and picked up by ICE. Coincidence? I think not. I definitely think that this was an organized, a staged, a deliberate arrest. This was not something like, oh, randomly, like he popped. No, he's been processed and was in the system. There is no way that they did not know about him. Like, and I don't know. Like, it's just, I mean, I'm going to sit back and wait for this story to develop because his lawyers are definitely working hard. They're claiming that this is a misunderstanding and that this will hopefully be cleared up and fixed up soon. But I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure because I feel like the government is always trying to make examples, especially out of celebrities. It's still mind-boggling to me that 21 Savage is British and not American from the A, and that he's been able to do all these things and nobody has like got wind of this. Like, it's very, very, it's baffling to me. Like, it doesn't make any sense, which is why I'm like, I definitely smell some foul play here. But there are many of you, because I've been following your comments on social media, who feel like 21 Savage should be deported because rules are rules. And, you know, for those who did come in, you know, to America, I guess the quote unquote right way, they feel like, you know, if they had to do it the right way, then so should 21 Savage. And that his status as a recording artist and, you know, famous big time rapper should not mean shit, and that he should be treated like everybody else. Now, is there some truth to that statement? I mean, I guess, right? I mean, him being a celebrity shouldn't shield him from any of these immigration, you know, issues in a sense. But in general, I feel like he's a dreamer, right? He came when he was a child. 21 Savage is not that old. He's pretty young. He was born in like 1992. He is the epitome of a millennial. He is still in his 20s. And so he came here when he was a child. And there was nothing that he can do. When your parents bring you over and say, this is where we're living now, this is what happens. Like, what did you expect them to do? And, you know, I mean, there really isn't anything that he could have done. I mean, aside from the, you know, the illegal marriage, right? Find an American to get married to and then, you know, become a citizen or whatever. Like, he could have went that route, but he's a dreamer. He's a child. Like, we're fighting. We're currently still fighting for DACA. We are still fighting for the dreamers to have a permanent, you know, permanent status in this country. And he is part of the dreamers. He is part of them. And it's just one of those things, like, it's really sad that, you know, you do have this rapper who's socially conscious, who is out here. I mean, yes, he does some mumble rap, but he's also rapping about important things. And then the moment he's out here talking about these important things, bam, he's like in the process of being deported. I really hope that 21 Savage's attorneys are A-list attorneys and that they are able to do something for him. I mean, regardless if he's a rapper, whatever, and people think that he shouldn't get the special treatment, it is what it is. I don't believe that he should be deported. I believe that he came here as a child. He's a dreamer. He's, you know, essentially from here. Like, he spent his formative years here. He's raised here. I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard him speak, but I mean, you couldn't tell me that he wasn't from the A. And so I really hope that, you know, it all works out for him. And I really hope that, you know, he uses this opportunity to continue to speak up against this immigration situation that's going on right now. And I hope that he now becomes the face of it, because he is a dreamer. That is him. So, I mean, good luck, 21 Savage. I really hope it all works out for you. But I definitely wanted to comment on that, because I found that there was some sort of, like, you know, division going on social media, where some people were like, he shouldn't be deported. This is all a conspiracy, which I believe that it is. You know, the government definitely planned this. And then there are those who believe that, well, it doesn't matter. He needs to go. So, I mean, you guys tell me what your thoughts are. How do you feel about this 21 Savage situation? Do you think that he should be deported, like the regular people who are being deported? Or do you think that, you know, he should stay? He should get a chance to stay. Just like, you know, we're fighting for the dreamers, so we're fighting for him. You let me know what you think. So now, going into the meat of the show, which is really where the womp womp of the week lies. And, you know, when I saw this story pop up on my newsfeed, I was a little bit confused as to what was going on here. But then when I did some more digging, you know, I'm a little conflicted as to my thoughts and how I feel about this womp womp of the week. But at the end of the day, I think that there is an overall message here. And hopefully, hopefully there's some sort of awareness that's brought up about this. So for those of you who have not heard about this little fiasco, the Liam Neeson fiasco. Liam Neeson, he is the Irish actor who most of us know from the movies Taken. I don't know if it's a trilogy, whatever. But for those of you who know the movie Taken, Taken 1, Taken 2, I don't know if there's a Taken 3. Liam Neeson is the leading actor in that movie. And all of us over the years have come to love Liam Neeson. In fact, one of my friends refers to him as her white grandpa, because he's like, you know, he's like the hero in these movies. And, you know, everyone loves a hero. Everyone identifies with the hero. Everyone is always rooting for the hero. I think what's always interesting in these situations is that we as a people have a hard time separating the actor, the artist, you know, from, you know, I guess their craft, right? Like, that individual is an individual. His craft is that he is an actor. So we can't separate the individual from the actor or the individual from the artist. We have a hard time doing that for some reason. I mean, we've seen this happen time and time again, such as the Bill Cosby thing. I mean, we still have people debating till this day whether or not he deserves to be in jail, whether or not he actually committed these infractions, these crimes. But people were really going hard, like, you know, Bill Cosby, like, you know, Mr. Huxtable, Father Huxtable, he would never do such a thing. But it's like, you have to separate Bill Cosby from, you know, Cliff Huxtable. They're not the same people. Who he is in real life is not who he is on the TV screen. And the same thing goes for Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson is an Irish actor. He's amazing at what he does. But we don't really know him as an individual. And so, you know, a lot of people were a little conflicted as to whether or not they want to cancel him after this latest news about, you know, his thought process. And I don't know. So again, going back, because I'm going all over the place here. Liam Neeson, the Irish actor, recently came out in an interview with The Independent, which is a UK-based media outlet, and he made some alarming confessions. So in the interview, he basically was talking about a situation where a person close to him, a loved one, was raped by a black man. And so upon finding out this information or hearing this news, he went out on a revenge-seeking spree. So he went looking for revenge. So Liam Neeson stated, and I quote in this interview, "I went up and down areas with a crowbar," I think they call it a kosh, but that translates to a crowbar, "hoping I'd be approached by somebody." And when he says somebody, he is talking about a black person. So he was going around walking up and down neighborhoods where I guess he believed black people hung out, hoping that he would encounter a black person. He goes on to say that, "I am ashamed to say that I did it for maybe about a week, hoping some black bastard would come out and," what is it, "come out and have a go with him," right? And I guess, I don't know, approach him, say something to him, in which he would then respond by killing him. So now, after receiving this obvious backlash, because I don't know what he thought was going to happen when he came out on national global news telling everybody that, you know, he at one point was out here looking for black people to kill, he ended up coming back out to the media to not really retract his statement, to qualify it, I guess. And he decided to also come out and say that he regrets plotting his racially charged revenge and that this situation taught him a serious lesson on making emotional decisions. He further stated that he learned to ask himself what he was doing before doing it, right? Now, I don't know. I really don't know what to say about this. So it doesn't stop there, because he then went on, and in a subsequent interview on Good Morning America, he stated that, "I am not a racist. This was 40 years ago. The topic of his upcoming film is revenge, and the lady journalist from The Independent was asking him about how does he tap into that? I guess, how does he get into character is what he was saying, right? So now, I wasn't aware of this, but if you guys didn't know, just like I didn't know, there's a new movie coming out, which Liam Neeson stars in, called Cold Pursuit. It's a thriller in which a man is out seeking retribution after his son was murdered. So, I don't even know what to say about this. All I know, though, is that this Liam Neeson situation definitely sparked up a race topic on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Everybody is commenting on this Liam Neeson fiasco. And what I find all of this to be, at the end of the day, it's just another reminder to black people everywhere that white people are out here at times ready to provoke black people so that they can kill us. Like the whole George Zimmerman situation with the Trayvon Martin, like some people were even likening the situation to that. Like there are white people out here who this is their thing, to go out and provoke black people so that they can kill them. I mean, you guys know the whole concept of self-defense, right? So imagine if you're a white person and you provoke a black person, and the black person then reacts, right? You then can use your deadly force and claim that, you know, you had no choice but to use deadly force because you were being attacked by this aggressive black individual. Like, it happens all the time. And we have seen time and time again where black people are dying at the hands of these random ass white people over situations that weren't even situations. But because the white person has come out and said that they felt like they were being attacked, or they felt that they were, you know, that there was aggression on the part of the, you know, the black person, and they felt scared and they felt terrified for their lives and they didn't know what to do. I mean, you hear these things all the time. And so their response is they had to take action into their own hands. You know, they didn't mean for the result to be death, but they didn't know what to do. Like, this is a typical thing here in American society, and I'm sure all over the world, right? So now, of course, you know, black Twitter has been on fire since this situation has happened, making relevant points, though. So here are a few notable tweets that make you go, So Tariq Nasheed with, I guess, with the hashtag or the at Tariq Nasheed on Twitter states, Kevin Hart is out here losing gigs and being made to apologize over jokes he made on Twitter over a decade ago. But Liam Neeson actually went out looking for black people to kill, and people are on here talking about that was a long time ago and he found moral strength to get over racism. Now, I definitely agree with Tariq Nasheed's point, because this Kevin Hart situation was also going viral and people were really, 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 you know, into making comments on the Kevin Hart situation. So again, for those of you who don't know, Kevin Hart, he made some homophobic jokes as part of, I don't know, I don't remember if he tweeted them or if it was part of a set, a comedy set that he was doing. Either way, Kevin Hart is a comedian. He made some jokes about, you know, gay people. And I think about, I guess, how, you know, he would never want his son to be gay or something like that. I can't remember exactly. But he made jokes along those veins. And the LGBT community went after him. Now, this was about 10 years ago. He apologized. He said he was sorry and he thought that he had moved on. But then recently, when he was, you know, asked to host the Oscars, the Twitter trolls went digging and they found these tweets and pretty much re-crucified Kevin Hart for these jokes that he made 10 years ago, demanding that he apologize and all sorts of stuff, to the point where Kevin Hart ended up stepping down from the whole Oscars thing because he's just like, I'm not apologizing for something that I apologized for on numerous occasions before. And the LGBTQ community and their supporters were dragging the hell out of him over these jokes that he made. Jokes, okay? He's a comedian. He made some jokes. Were they in poor taste? I can't even really comment on that because I don't believe that they were made in poor taste. I believe that this is what comedians do. They make jokes about everything. If somebody was out there making a racist joke, it was a joke. It is what it is. You know, I'm not going to sit here and take it personal. If that's how they do their set, I'm just not going to support them. That's all you have to do. But either way, Kevin Hart, he apologized, understanding, I guess, that the climate that we're in now, that people cannot make jokes, everybody is overly sensitive. You know, he apologized. He said what he said, but people were still coming after him. People were not giving him a break. But Liam Neeson, the white man, the white Irishman, comes out and says, out in the open, not in a joking matter, that he went out looking to kill a black person as revenge for a black individual who he has no idea who this person is, no idea what, nothing, but just knew that this person was black. He was out here seeking revenge for his friend who was raped by a black person. And yet the media, the people, the Twitter world are out here not really justifying, but openly forgiving his actions and making excuses and saying, well, it was a long time ago. He's learned from this. He learned that revenge is not the answer. Where is this energy when it comes to Black people who don't even do a fraction of what, who didn't even do a fraction of what Liam Neeson did? Like, where is that same energy for Kevin Hart and these other Black individuals who were crucified? I mean, I don't know if you guys were ever into Grey's Anatomy, but Dr. Burke, who was a Black star on Grey's Anatomy, had made a comment, a homophobic statement. This was like more than 10 years ago, because Grey's Anatomy has been on forever. And he was ousted from the show, and his career has never been the same. Despite apologies, his career has never been the same. When's the last time we've seen Dr. Burke on anything? He's made little cameos here and there, but when his career was pretty much over and is pretty much still over because of his homophobic statement that he made. But yet Liam Neeson is still his. I haven't heard any reports that his movie is being pulled. I haven't heard that production has stopped. The only thing that I have heard is that there was supposed to be a red carpet appearance that Liongate, the production agency or whatever, pulled. It was supposed to happen in New York City, and that they canceled it in light of these, you know, racist remarks from Liam Neeson. That's the only thing that I've heard in terms of like real backlash. I haven't heard anything about the movie being canceled in its entirety. Now, a lot of us are out here saying that, you know what, we're canceling Liam Neeson, right? And I was one of them. I came out and I'm like, he's canceled, because what the hell is going on here? But then I had to sit back and think, though. Liam Neeson is white. The probability of him being racist was very high to begin with. I was raised in a household where I was taught every day as a Black person, be careful of white people, because at the end of the day, they might laugh in your face. They might smile with you. They might be cool with you. But at the end of the day, they will never like you. They will never choose you. Now, as I've grown older, I have encountered white people who I truly believe are not racist. I truly believe that they are genuine individuals. Even in the face of adversity, they've still, you know, stood up for the resistance. So I'm not going to sit here at this point in my life and say that every white person is racist and that they have a, you know, an ill agenda when it comes to the Black people in the Black community. However, I will say that the majority do. I believe that the majority of white people, somewhere there is racial animus. It just takes a situation to bring it out. Most of these people that we encounter in these streets every day, these white people, you would never know that they're racist until you know that they're racist, which means a situation like the Liam Neeson, you know, friend was raped by a Black person. That's where you're going to see the racism is coming out there. You know, some inequalities going on in the community where they feel like white people are at a disadvantage, that's when you're going to start hearing the racist banter, right? So it's like you have to be careful with white people in general, because a lot of them don't even know that they have. And I truly believe that some of them don't even know that they have this racial animus inside of them. They don't know it. They might not have had an opportunity to express it. And so they're ignorant to their own, you know, racial bias. But put them in a situation that's tragic, that's dire, and you will see the racism pop out. And they might even be shocked at their own level of racism. So I think with this Liam Neeson thing, I mean, yeah, we can go ahead and we can cancel him. But we're going to be canceling white people left and right if we already haven't. And at the end of the day, we're not going to be watching any movies. We're not going to be listening to any music. We're not going to be doing anything. We're not going to be purchasing any clothes. I mean, we were all boycotting, what, H&M not too long ago, but we're all in H&M now. Starbucks, we had some issues with Starbucks. We're back in Starbucks again. You know, Heineken had this racist commercial or this racist-esque commercial. We were protesting, but I know I saw some people drinking Heinekens the other day. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like the racism is prevalent. We live in a society where racism is prevalent. Racism is not gone. For those people who are out here saying that, oh, you know, we've made it so far that racism is barely a topic, you're full of shit. You're full of shit, or you're just so far under a rock that I don't even know. Racism is here, and it is, I mean, we're breathing it, we're drinking it, like we're eating it. It's all over the place. And so I personally, at first I was kind of like shocked because I think that was just like my gut reaction, like, oh my gosh. But then when I really had to sit in it, I was like, no, I am not shocked that Liam Neeson would have this mindset, would make these statements out in the open because he's a white person. You have Trump out here saying whatever he wants. The white people are emboldened. They are empowered to say and do whatever they want. So, of course, Liam Neeson would feel comfortable to come on a global platform and say that he, at one point, wanted to seek revenge and he was looking for anybody black, and he was out provoking, waiting for somebody to start something with him so that he could kill him. Let a black person say something like that on a internet radio, which, you know, where people are not even really listening to. Let somebody even whisper something like that. It would be a whole situation. The KKK would be stationed in front of their building or their house. Like, their job would have terminated them. Like, it would have been, they would have been getting hate mail. Like, they would have had to leave the country and move to Africa. Like, it would be crazy if a black, let Kevin Hart come and say something like that. Let anybody, any black person come out and say what Liam Neeson said. The treatment would not be the same. And it's crazy because, I mean, that's just how it is. And the thoughts on Twitter that I've seen reflect that. So we have Eric D. Snyder. So Eric D. Snyder on Twitter. He stated, Liam Neeson had a terrible impulse that he didn't act on, that he knows was terrible, and that he learned from. If we're going to cancel people for being tempted, in capital letters, to do wrong, or for struggling with something before coming to the right conclusion, well, we're going to be busy. Well, the only thing I agree with this statement is that, yes, we are going to be busy if we're canceling people right from left, because these people are everywhere. These racist people are everywhere. It's all over. Like, we will be busy canceling everybody, which is why at some point we have to really think, like, is canceling the key? Is that really the key? Because we know that we are a fickle society. We do know that as black people, you know, we take up the pole, we take up the armor or whatever, the banner, and then we quickly put it down. I mean, look at what happened for the Super Bowl. I personally did not watch the Super Bowl because I stood by what I was saying from the beginning when the Kaepernick thing happened, that I was not going to support. And a lot of black people came out talking about they're not supporting, they're not doing this. However, the amount of Super Bowl parties, both known and unknown, that were going on throughout the American society was very interesting, to say the least. My thing is this: if you don't want to cancel somebody for making statements, or you don't want to cancel the NFL or the NBA or whatever, you don't have to cancel them. You don't have to come out and say, oh, I'm canceling everybody. You don't have to cancel them. You can still support them. You know, there are many black players that are still playing in the NFL. I mean, hell, we have a Haitian who won his first Super Bowl ever. Shout out to Sony Michel. You know, like he, that's to be celebrated. It is to be celebrated because it's a big accomplishment. But at the end of the day, my thing is, you know, for those of you who are out here talking about, I'm canceling. I mean, I would really just watch your words, because if you know you're really not going to cancel, you don't have, nobody is expecting you to say that you're going to cancel. You don't have to say that. So with this thing with Liam Neeson, at first I was like, you know what? Canceled. He's canceled. Although I don't plan on going to watch his movie Cold Pursuit, I do not plan on watching it. I'm not going to support it. I'm going to do my best not to support, you know, any of his future endeavors. So I guess in a sense, I am canceling him. But the reason I'm like hesitant to really go out and say cancel is because next week is going to be another, you know, another artist, another actor. It's going to be another organization. You know, these things are happening at alarming, at high speed, at alarming rates. And it's like, we can sit here and be shocked every single day when we hear another actor, another artist, you know, another celebrity coming out their face and making racial, you know, racial commentary, making racist remarks. Or we can figure out like, I mean, how do we as a community just band together? How do we strengthen ourselves in light of all of this tomfoolery that's going on outside, right? I mean, I think at the end of the day, that's really what we need to focus on. This racist stuff is going to keep happening. And we can put so much energy in calling out Liam Neeson and calling out, you know, Tommy Lauren for all her stupid racist, you know, commentary. We can even spend time commentating on Donald Trump for all of the racist stuff that he is saying. At the end of the day, what I think is more important, what the real lesson is and what the real nugget is from all of this, is that the white people don't care about us. I say this all the time. They don't care about us. They don't. And so we need to care about ourselves. We need to come together for ourselves. We need to create our own platforms. We need to be great within each other. We need to support each other. That's what we need to do, you know? And I feel like, you know, we can sit here and be shocked all we want, but until we really like wake up and say, listen, these people aren't for us. We live in this country that's not designed, it's not catered for us. We need to really, instead of sitting here and feeling bad or being outraged by all of these things that are happening, what are we going to do for ourselves? I mean, we can even protest and do all of this stuff, but how far is that really going to go if we are not taking care of ourselves and protecting ourselves? We need to be educating our children, our little boys. I'm not saying to teach them to be racist, but our boys need to understand the dynamic between white people and black people. They need to understand that there is a dynamic, that we are not seen and viewed as equal in this society, and that there are white people who are out here looking to provoke black people and to kill them. Like, this is a real situation. It's a real situation. And it's like, how many more Trayvon Martins do we need to see slain until we really make this a priority? We have to teach our children better. We need to teach them that there is a difference. This whole I don't see color business is bullshit. You don't see color, color sees you. Like it, and so we need to start taking action. We need to start strengthening our communities. We need to do better. And we need to, I mean, that's where the energy should go, as opposed to this outrage. You know, I'm not saying that you can't feel some type of way. I'm not saying that you don't have a right to speak. I mean, post a comment, do what you need to do, but leave it at that. And really then take that energy in saying, how can I create a better environment for my people within the communities that I live in? How can I strengthen my community? How can I create more opportunities for, you know, in my community? That's what we need to see more of. We don't want to support Liam Neeson and these racist white actors. Well, let's support our black actors. Let's create platforms. Let's create opportunities for the young kids coming up to be, you know, to become actors and actresses. Let's strengthen our media outlets. Let's do that. You know, there's so much that we can do. And so for me, I mean, I was outraged at first, and then I had to really think about it, and I was like, why am I outraged, Rita? This is what they do. This is what happens. It is what it is. But knowing that it is what it is, how can I, Rita Pierre, contribute to strengthening my community? How can I contribute to a better black society? That's really what it's about. So that was my rant on the whole Liam Neeson thing. I want to know your thoughts, though. I want to know, how do you guys feel about this situation? I mean, it's taking over social media. It's the topic of the town. How do you guys feel about it? Definitely let me know. Send me an email at accordingtorp@gmail.com or slide up in my DM on Instagram and on Facebook at accordingtorp. And let me know your thoughts on all of this. So, guys, it is a wrap for our show. I really hope that you guys were able to get something from all of this talk. Please, please, please continue to support According to RP. We have some great shows coming up. I've been able to interview some amazing guests. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have some amazing guests on the show talking about some amazing things. I don't want to give too much away. So continue to follow, continue to support, continue to share with your network that According to RP is here and we are trying to do great things and we are trying to make it to the top. So now before I end and say goodbye, I definitely want to shout out my sponsor again, Trendy Tripping. Again, guys, it's a co-retailing space that allows artists, entrepreneurs, and startups the opportunity to showcase and sell your products, sell their products, sell products. Like, this is a great opportunity to network, to build, to connect, to grow with other artists who are in the struggle just like you. And it's an opportunity to be able to showcase, you know, your items, to be able to really pour into your business without worrying about crazy overhead costs, such as the cost of retailing space. So definitely check out The Trendy Market and follow Trendy Tripping on Instagram, on Facebook, and I believe they're also on Twitter. And if for whatever reason you're having a hard time finding them, just DM me and I will put you in contact. So that's a wrap, guys, for this episode. Hope you enjoyed it, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Thursday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.